most of you know that I had my phone stolen from me at the Skokie Public Library on Sunday night. You didn't, so... Yay! So the truth is that I'm very proud of myself for my reaction. I am. I'm actually very proud of myself for it. I didn't go crazy. I wasn't even visibly upset in front of my kids when I went there. I didn't blame my wife for sending me to the public library, right? There was no blame game. There was nothing like that. I was actually very impressed with myself. All right, what can I do? You know, there wasn't anything like that. Only later when I realized that T-Mobile couldn't track my phone because the guy turned it off and that he turned the GPS off, did I get a little bit upset and be like, oh, you serious? Like, what am I going to do now? But other than that, I was, you know, pretty happy for all those things. I think it's because of our Monday Night Vavim, where we did a project a couple weeks ago about saying, I love you, Hashem, when something bad happens. And thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to serve Him even during that time, even when something goes to your detriment. It took me a while to say it. My phone is pretty much my lifeline during most of the day, and it is very difficult, even with Google backups, to be able to take care of my contacts. But just the fact that I don't have my calendar on me, which I write everything down, is problematic. But I can say it. I love you, Hashem. I thank you for this type of Yisurin instead of any other type of Yisurin that there could be out there. And that's something that we have to say. It's something that we have to think of in our own behavior, in our own way, to take it out for ourselves. There's a Gemara about this. Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph, and it says the following. It says, Kishchola Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus got sick. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, you'll remember, was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe of many of his Talmidim. He was one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is Talmid Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He was the one who fought with Rabbi Yeshua, and he was even put in Cherem for a little bit for what he had done with Rabbi Yeshua. When he got sick, Nichnasu Dalet Zakenim Lavakro, it says that four Zakenim, four older men came to visit him. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elizabeth ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Tarfon Bahama. Rabbi Tarfon got up and he said, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Tova Tol Yisrael, Mitipa Shel Geshamim. You are better for Bnei Yisrael than a drop of rain. Then rain coming down. Then Rabbi Yeshua Bahama. Tova Tol Yisrael, Yosemi Gal Golchama. You're great, you're better for Bnei Yisrael, greater than Gal Golchama, the sun shining in the sky. You're greater than the sun. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Amar, Tova Tol Yisrael Yosef Me'Avaim. You're greater for Bnei Yisrael, better than any of a father and a mother. It's better to have you than a father and a mother. Then Rabbi Kiva Amar. Rabbi Kiva got up and he said, Chaviv and Yisurin. I love Yisurin. That's Rabbi Kiva's answer. So Rabbi Tarfon obviously saw that. Amar Lahem, Samchuni Ve'eshma Divrei Akiva Talmidi. Bring me close. I want to hear what my Talmid Rabbi Akiva is saying. That he's saying that Chaviv and Yisurin. Amar Lo Akiva Zuminayim Acha. Said Akiva, where did you get that from? That Chaviv and Yisurin. So Amar Mikroni Darish. It's a pasuk. I'm darshaning a pasuk. Says Ben Shemes Reishana Menashe B'Malcho. 12 years old was Menashe when he became king. V'chamisha v'chamishana Malach Yerushalayim. He was king for 55 years in Yerushalayim. V'yasa Rabbe Ne Hashem. And he did evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Menashe did evil in the eyes of Hashem. V'chi Chizkia Melach Yehuda Kol Olam Kulo. Chizkia, his father, who was the king of Shevet Yehuda, of all of the areas of Yehuda. Right? Limud Torah. The whole world, he taught them Torah. Ula Menashe B'Nozlo Limud Torah. He didn't teach Menashe his son Torah? What, he taught everybody else, but he forgot to teach his son Torah? How is Menashe such a Russia? What happened? El Mikol Torah Shatarachbo, Mikol Amal Sha'amalbo, from all the Tircha that he went through, from all the Amelus that he went through, Lo Haleil Lamutav Eli Yisurin. The only thing that brought him to be good, the only thing that brought him up, was Yisurin. Holy Matrix of Shechav Yivin Yisurin. When Menashe was taken and thrown in jail by the people of wherever it was, Aram, Ashur, when he was taken and thrown in jail, and he dived into a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he begged the Kaddish Baruch Hu for mercy, that's what made him do tshuva. Not before that. Only when he got Yisurin. His father, Chizkiah, taught him all the Torah in the world. His grandfather, I would assume, even Amon, Achaz, had some sort of connection to Torah. But nonetheless, the only thing that really got Menashe, the only thing that really got him going, was Yisurin itself. So it's difficult to understand what Rabbi Akiva means over here. Is he arguing on everyone before him? Or is he saying the same? Now, it's clear that everybody else was saying a very clear type of statement. Rabbi Eliezer, we can't let you die. We need you. You're better than rain. You're better than the sun. You're better than our parents. We need you here in this world. We need Rabbi Eliezer. So they're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu in almost like a supplication to Hashem, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not let Rabbi Eliezer die. That seems to be somewhat clear from what he's trying to say. This is the greatest man around, and he's the one that's allowing us to become the people that we are. We can't let him die. However, that's not what Rabbi Akiva is saying. In Pashup Shai, he's saying Yisurin is the greatest thing that people can have. Right? Yisurin are the greatest things that people can have. That the greatest teacher is not your father, is not your Rebbe. The greatest teacher that a person has is Yisurin. My Rebbe can give me Mussar all day long and I might not listen. My father could tell me I'm doing something wrong the whole day and I might not listen. But what I will listen to, and I'm guaranteeing you I'm listening to it, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Yisurin. You look back at yourself and say, why would God do this to me? I understand. I've got to stop that. That's the idea of what Yisurin are. So, Pashup Shat, that's there. But that means that he's saying the exact opposite of everybody else. Everybody else is saying, wow, Rabbi Eliezer, we want you to get better. And Rabbi Akiva's like, this is awesome. Stay sick. This is better for you. It's so much better. If only we had more of this. What kind of a line is that Rabbi Akiva's trying to say? And why was Rabbi Eliezer placated at the end of that? Rabbi Eliezer hears that, says, even Yisurin, he's like, oh, you're right, I should be sick. That's not the right way to go. That's also not the thing that you should say to your Rebbe. It's a very strange thing to tell your Rav, go work on yourself, because obviously it is Yisurin for a reason, so it's time for you to do tshuva. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That can't be it. So what shot is it? What's the idea behind it? So it has to be that Rabbi Akiva was not going in a different direction. He was saying the same thing. Okay, now part of this is where from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, but the idea is a clear idea. Okay? Rabbi Akiva was not saying, Rabbi Eliezer, you should be happy for your Yisurin so that you can do tshuva. Rabbi Akiva is saying that we need you, Rabbi Eliezer, because of Yisurin. That Yisurin are so great, and so many, and so a part of our daily lives, we need a Rebbe to help sift through what these Yisurin are doing for us. Many people, thought Rabbi Akiva, have gone off the dark because terrible things have happened to them, their family, their surroundings, something about them. And I'm sure you could think of an example where something bad happened and the guy said, that's it, I'm done. That's it. I'm so upset. I'm so angry. I can't deal with this, I can't deal with that. They just said, I'm completely out. I need, said Rabbi Akiva, a Rebbe to discuss things with. So Chaviv and Yisurin. Yisurin are so unbelievable. There's so many of them. Rebbe, I have to know why my Rebbe is sick right now. Explain to me why this has to happen. There's so many things in my life that I need you for. So I'm not just saying that you're greater than a drop of water, or you're greater than the sun, or you're greater than my parents. I'm saying that I need you for every moment of my life. For every little bit and every little thing to be able to sit there and say to myself, what am I supposed to do here? How do I understand this? What am I supposed to learn from this? That's what I need a Rebbe for. Rebbe Eliezer, I need you. Sometimes Yisurin happen to people that are mamish mida keneged mida. And if you look at it, you say to yourself, that was amazing. It's exactly what I was expecting. Exactly. And yet the person doesn't realize. I'm going to give an example of a story. There was once a great man who was offered, whether he was a Talmud Chacham or not, I saw this in two different places. Rav Chaim mentions this, but this also I have from a Leilu Shabbat. It's a different version of the story from Yitzhak Zilberstein. So I'm going with Rav Yitzhak's version of the story. He was a Talmud Chacham and a well-known Talmud Chacham, right? And he had one daughter, and that daughter was offered a shidduch with a certain boy. Now this boy had tremendous milos, but there was one interesting thing about him. He was a Talmud Chacham, he was an anav, he was a well-known person. People liked him. He had good yichus, nice family. Everything was going for this guy. And the shidduch seemed to be pretty good between this boy and girl. But there was one issue. And the mother called off the shidduch because of it. The mother called off the shidduch because he had a limp. He had broken his leg very badly when he was a younger boy. And that limp caused him from then on, that caused him to always walk around in a certain fashion. And the mother said, my daughter should not have a boy with a limp. She deserves better than that. The husband Talmud Chacham said, this boy is great in any other way. What difference does it make how he walks in the Beis Medrash? He'll be sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning. He's going to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Why would you need to know about a limb? She was adamant. No, absolutely not. I'm not letting my daughter go out with a boy that has a limb. Okay. No, that was that. The husband couldn't convince his wife. So she did not end up going out with that guy. I don't know. That guy became Rebbe Yashiv. I don't know what that, you know, what the, at the end, what that ended up was. But the story goes like this. At the end, she later on, at some other point, was serving her husband a hot cup of tea in the morning before davening. The Rebbe had a doctor's note. I don't know if it was signed, but a doctor's note that he had to drink and have something to eat before davening. She was bringing him the tea before davening had started. As she's bringing him the tea, she tripped on something, she fell over something, whatever it was, she knocked over something, and she broke her leg in such a bad way that she had a limp for the rest of her life. Okay? Now what do you take from that story? Obviously we don't judge other people, so like we don't want to say anything, but it's clear that she seemed to be a little bit wrong about the whole limping thing, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed her it's not that bad of a deal to have a limp. Okay, even if you have a limp, that doesn't make you any less of a person. That's not what she learned. She blamed it on her husband, and she said, you shouldn't be eating or drinking before davening. And therefore, because you were drinking before davening, and I was an accomplice, and I was bringing you the tea, that's why my leg was broken. I was broken for walking it over to you. And that's the reason why it happened. Amazing, right? I mean, again, I'm not judging anybody's yisurim, nor am I going into the midah keneged midah of anybody else's yisurim. But without a Rebbe, without someone to help you understand what yisurim are, then you yourself will be fooled into thinking that it's something that it's not. Something that it's really not. And you sit there and you speak to your Rebbe and you tell him, this is what happened, what do I do with this? This is why Rebbe Akiva felt, I need a Rebbe. I need my Rebbe to tell me, what do I need to work on when something like this happens? What should I be doing because of that? So, I didn't talk to my Rebbe yet. I figured I'm going to see him in a week when I go to Eretz Yisrael. But it is kind of strange that I wrote a very harsh email on Motzei Shabbos. A harsh email. It needed to be sent. My wife was in total agreement with it. The other person who was involved was in total agreement with it. But it had to be sent. I was very, very good at it. I had it checked over 3 times. But nonetheless, I wrote that email, which is strange for me because I don't like writing emails off my phone. But I wrote it off my phone instead of my computer. Right? To be able to write it up, it was just easier, and I just wrote it off my phone. To me, it's not so coincidental that my phone was stolen the next day. Now, I don't know, and I have absolutely no idea. Maybe it's because, I don't know, there's no real way to get a real filter on these things, so as good as WebCover is, and as good as, you know, the other guys are, still your phone can have things on it that are inappropriate. Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe it's because I spend too much time looking up if the Bulls won or if the Bulls lost. Maybe that's the reason why. Absolutely no idea. Maybe it's because I shouldn't have this phone on me and flaunt it in the eyes of all the other high school kids who have to hide their phones all day in their pocket. Maybe that's the reason why. I have absolutely no idea. Like, I can't tell you, I can tell you an exact, this is the reason why this happened. I'm not so sure what the media connected media would be of me writing a harsh email and then my phone getting stolen. I'm not so sure I can tell you exactly that. It would be more like, I stole this phone, so therefore my phone was stolen from me. I don't know. There still could be some type of media connected media, but that's the point. The idea is, you can't see the bad in yourself as well as others can see it in you. I think we all understand that, because you think of yourself right now and you're like, but I'm awesome, that guy's bad. I agree with you that guy's probably bad. Nonetheless, I think you're bad also. You hear me? It's important to say it that way. There's a difference in how we look at ourselves versus how others will look at us. And sometimes it's important to have somebody that you know, knows you well, knows you very well, knows exactly what you're going through and what you've done, etc., and things like that. And because of that, he knows how to define when something happens to you. It might not be an exact science, and it shouldn't be done in a way that you go up to somebody else and you suggest what the problem is. Nonetheless, there is a chokmah to this, to be able to go through. The Gemara Nerachim tells us, it's mentioned, that even reaching into your pocket and trying to pull out one coin, and you end up pulling out the wrong coin, that even that is Yisurim. That reaching into one pocket and realizing the coin is in another pocket, even that is Yisurim. So from there, you can see something even more so. It's not just to figure out a mita connect mita, to find out what I'm doing tshuva about, to see what I've done wrong. It's not only that. It's that we think that certain things that are natural in this world, things that are just okay, that's the way things go. That's the way things are. Even those things are Yisurin that are given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not a coincidence that you reach in your pocket, you went for your right pocket, and it happens to be in your left. It's not a mikra, just a thing that happened, that I reached in to pull one coin out and I pulled out a different coin. No, that is a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even that is a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to give you to tell you something's up, something's wrong, you did something, there's something that you have to think about. Meaning, every single movement we make is already part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's system. And we already have to start thinking, what do we do with ourselves in this situation, or that situation, or this and that, the other? We need a rub to be able to understand what's real, what's natural, and what's something that is really a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that we never would have thought of beforehand. That's the concept that we have to have. So we have to be thankful, because Yisurin are helpful not only to take us away from the issues that plague us and to be able to help us realize what we've been doing wrong, but Yisurin are also there to show us that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. You can see God through your Yisurin. Through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he sends you, there are messages. Call it a malach if you want. Call it a little malach. But even Yisurin becomes something that can make you grow as a person, become a better person, and somebody who can see things that would not have seen things that you would not have seen without it. That's the concept of Yisurin are there for. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although it's been a little bit of a pain, it has been tremendous not having to take phone calls, I thank you for making my phone get lost. It's something that I wouldn't have thought about beforehand, I wouldn't have thought about afterwards. Now it's something that I can take out for myself and say, this is what needed to happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, and I know that it's for the very best. Shkari, everybody.